You know, I really thank God for Bethlehem. I really thank God for it. Bethlehem, the home of the soul. Indeed, Bethlehem is the home of the soul. Wherever there's real, true children of God, that's the home of the soul. Here at Bethlehem, this is indeed the home of the soul. Bethlehem, the house of bread. I know somebody would say, well, I don't feel that way. Well, that's okay. I do feel that way, and there's a whole lot of others that do feel that way. If you don't feel that way, well, that's all right. We'll all just feel the way we want to feel. All go where we want to go and live where we want to live and do what we want to do. I know some of them is just here to get the benefits, and as quick as they get the benefits, get around the law and the law's demands, they've gone. They done announced it. They done blow the trumpet and let everybody know not to get any ideas that they don't belong to these Bethlehemites. They're going to be on their way. But that don't bother me. You should be on your way. Shouldn't be here now. But God's got you here now to judge you. That's your purpose in being here, is to judge you. Seems like the people always come to the end of the trail when they come to Bethlehem. As long as they don't know nothing about this, they're all right. But when they sit in here a little while, and then they learn about it, from then on it's problems, heartaches, sufferings. Because this is the last thing. You know, you go some places, if you don't get it, you just go somewhere else. But here, when you learn about this and you don't do it, that's the end of the trail for you. There ain't no more days. That's it. But I thank the Lord for those that are working with me, as I said, that's interested in the things of God. We're here trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. From day to day, we're trying to do our very best to grow in His grace and in His knowledge, and we've got a wonderful little system. It works beautifully, and it's only confusing to those that are confused. But the others, it's just beautiful. It works beautifully, and I thank the Lord for it. I look forward to the services because I know that the services bring us more knowledge and understanding of the Lord. You know, one thing people really ought to think on, one thing they ought to think of, and that is that God shall in no wise acquit the wicked. No wise. And that we should never be selfish and gullible in our thinking and in our human desire. People are so prone to put all of their time and effort in getting something for themselves, doing something for themselves, and making money, getting fame and popularity or whatever. They're so prone to do that, so interested in that. Until they have no time for God. They have no time to come and help the brotherhood, help the sisters. No time to work on a church job. No time to nail, no time to saw. They have nothing to give in the way of supporting the cause of the poor, the hungry, the needy, or anything that we're projecting at Bethlehem. We received a letter the other day. Christian Aid. They sent us a letter. And they sent us a picture of a little boy. They had the title on there, The Little Boy That Could Not Quit or Stop Saying Thank You. They had hope or give help to a little boy. And the little boy with his legs all thin and narrow and twisted up, and it was a pitiful looking sight. They have helped the little boy, and they said he just couldn't stop saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And it was really pitiful just to look at him. Brethren who love the Lord from this area has contributed greatly to the cause of that particular operation, the different parts of the world, the refugees and whatever, sometimes maybe $1,000 at a time. To help those little people, to help do something for Jesus. That's why Satan doesn't like Bethlehem. That's why he seeks to tear it down. We received a letter, numbers of letters, but we received one today that my wife was reading. Well, she read me a couple of them today. Out of India and concerning Nigeria and Africa. And they were praising the literature and praising our ministry and longing for us to come and telling us what God was doing for them in their ministry and the way that God had opened great doors to them. You know, and we have a little part in so many things when it comes to the brotherhood. As the writer said, your faith is spoken of throughout the world. When I started this place, I said, folks, I want you to fit the scripture where the writer said your faith is spoken of throughout the world. I said, we're but a little group, but I want you to do it. And so then now, your faith is spoken of throughout the world. These are the things that the devil don't want to magnify. He'll do anything to cut this out. He'll do anything to stop it. He'll do anything to evade helping it, to break down any confidence toward it, that it might be magnified, that it might continue to do good. Jesus in this world went about doing good and helping all, everywhere he could. He would help somebody. But see, folks that don't love God, they're not going to help anyone. And they don't want to help anyone. And they're not going to help you to help anyone. And they're going to do everything within their power to keep you from helping anyone. Because it is Satan. It magnifies Christ. It magnifies Jesus. It magnifies the church. And the devil knows the more that's magnified, the weaker his kingdom gets. The more he's in trouble. He'll magnify a basketball player, a football player, some judge, some celebrity, senator, president, anything that belongs to the world, that goes along with the world, because the Bible says the world loveth its own. But he'll do anything to stop you, because he knows that you are his enemy, and he knows that it is a mark against his kingdom. So he will do anything he can to stop it. But just remember, you belong to Christ. Christ belongs to God. God is our great Father, and he makes all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And if your ways please God, he'll make your enemies to be at peace with you. He'll supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. He will make your enemies to be at peace with you. He will make your enemies to be at peace with you. Who is my enemy? He that gathereth not with me, Jesus said, scattereth abroad. Every person that comes to Little Bethlehem or lives at Little Bethlehem that doth not gather with me, then he scattereth. He causeth me problems. He is mine enemy, and he is the great enemy of God. For he is carnally minded, and the carnal mind is enmity with God. So he is my enemy, and God will make him to be at peace with me. All right, let's read just a little bit in the book of Psalms. Psalms 36, the transgression of the wicked, saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He sitteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgment are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasure. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the day of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. For the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. I'd like to point out just one or two things here and discuss it just a little bit with you. You know, we come to church for one reason. And, of course, that is to discuss the Scriptures, talk about the Scriptures, and to grow in the knowledge. Thank you, brother. To grow in the knowledge and in the grace of God. That's the purpose of it. If you don't come to grow in his understanding and in his knowledge, if you don't come to hear what the preacher is saying, then you wasted your time. Now, I want you to know that we appreciate you being here. I'm glad to see Vince and the wife and family here. They were here the other night. I'm certainly glad to see them in church with us. Also, Sister Juana is still here with us. And we are glad to have the different ones come and be with us. Always glad to see Sister Thomas come and be with us. She lives a good ways from here. Appreciate her coming. And the others, sometimes we might overlook you. We don't see you. I say over and over that it's not because we don't want to recognize you. It's just because we fail to, you know, for it to register. But anyway, we're glad to have you here. We appreciate you coming to be with us. Now, commenting just a little bit here, if you'll notice, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. You know, I was having great difficulty one time, numbers of years ago. I was having great difficulty. I couldn't control my thoughts in the sense that my thoughts disturbed me. And I couldn't control them. And I thought, well, my, I don't like to hear voices. I don't like to hear things talking to me that's unlike Jesus. And one day I went to the Lord and I said, what is this? I wasn't all of that old in the Lord, not too far down the trail. And I said, God, what is this? I don't understand this. And I heard the Lord say, commit thy ways unto the Lord. And then thy thoughts shall be established. And I suddenly realized that my problem was that I had not committed my ways unto the Lord. My doings was not of the Lord in the sense that though I love the Lord and though I had become a Christian, I still had not committed my ways to fasting, to praying, to studying the Bible, to helping the needy, the poor, to sharing with them abroad, or to try to visit the sick, or to help someone, or to give something to someone. Or I hadn't committed my ways to the Lord to practice every day the wonderfulness of God. I just hadn't done it. And so then the devil was constantly probing at me because I had already crossed the fence in the sense that I had gotten on God's side and I was way over here and he was way over there. But see, my body being dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, that is to sin, yet I still had to take that body and had to commit my ways to the things of God to silence that evil one that was always talking to me. For the Bible said to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you're always trying to make money, always trying to go somewhere, always trying to do something natural, trying to obtain something in the world, trying to get up, trying to be elevated, trying to be noticed, trying to be somebody, trying to get the preeminence, that's when the devil really harasses your mind. You know, I've tried to explain this to the brethren. One thing that you need to do, and that is understand who is of God and who is not of God. The Bible says that a lot of people can't differentiate. They can't tell what is right and what is wrong. They're babes. They're on the milk. But the Bible said when you get the meat, then you're able to differentiate between good and evil. And then he said you can discern between that which is good and that which is evil. And knowing the child by his doings rather than by his religious attire. So then you need to know who is of God and who is not of God. John said to the people, he said, I write unto you that you might understand that he that doeth good is of God and he that doeth not good is not of God. He said, you can tell them. And what is good? Good is what the Bible teaches. That's what good is to do what the Bible teaches. Then that is good. Doing what you think is good is not good. Going to work and making money and having a home and buying land and taking care of your family and all those things, that's not good in the sight of God in the sense of salvation. That is a good thing to do. That is morally good. But that is not the goodness that John was speaking of. John was speaking of serving your brother. He was speaking of giving to the poor and to the hungry. For pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, and I remind you again, to visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions. And then the next thing is to keep yourselves unspotted from the world. If you do not feed the widows and you do not feed the orphans, beloved friend, I don't care whether you call yourself a preacher, a deacon, laity, or a Christian, a church member, it doesn't matter what church you belong to. If you don't take care of the orphans and the widows, you are not a Christian. The Spirit of God is concerned about one thing, and that is to take care of His creation. God takes care of His creation. You may come to church. You may act religious. You may act like you're one of the members of the body. But that doesn't spell anything. It's like I told somebody today, people that are supposed to be helping me, working on the jobs, occupying the offices, I said, sometimes they literally torment me. I said, they'll let the day go, or a pretty day go, knowing the desperation and using this for an excuse not to do anything anywhere else, but still at the same time not doing anything here, literally tormenting me. It's hypocrisy. See, it's hypocrisy. And that's the way it is with people that come to church, that profess Christianity. If they don't give to the poor, if they don't take care of the widows, and if they don't keep themselves unspotted from the world, they are in hypocrisy. It is a make-believe thing. They don't have the right spirit. People that do that, whether on the job or whether here, in the religious side of it, they don't have God. They don't know God. They've never met God, because God doesn't have a nature like that. God's not natured like that. That's not God's nature, to be deceitful and contrary and do not to redeem the time, knowing that the days are evil. That's not God. Your commitments are supposed to be godly and holy and sincere. And you're not supposed to use your coat of righteousness, your garment of righteousness, for a cloak of maliciousness, to smite, to backbite, to devour, to tear down. It's made very plain here that I'm not to fret myself because of the wicked. The wicked do things wrong, and they'll tear you down, and they'll backbite, and they'll do anything they can. And if you're not careful, your indignation will get stirred up. But see, the Bible said, don't fret yourself because of the evildoers. I'll cut them off in time. I'll cut them off, so just keep on walking, keep on doing what you're doing. Don't grow weary in well-doing. You'll reap in due season if you faint not. Don't be weary in your minds and faint, because that's where you fight the battle, is in your mind. So don't be weary in well-doing. Just keep on doing well, and God will bless you. God will help you. God will strengthen you. See, the Bible speaks here in the Psalms, the book of Psalms. This is the way the Lord puts it. God said, he that considereth the cause of the poor, the man that will help take care of the needy and of the poor, God said, he is going to die. All of the prophecies and all of the predictions and all of the things said by the wicked that wet their tongue like arrows that shoot up at the upright in heart, by poisoning the minds of others, hoping that their predictions and prophecies will come to pass because they base it on their intellectual concept of what they think is happening, knowing nothing of the Spirit or of God, being the very same as it was with Saul, going to the bewitching side of life. Paul said, who hath bewitched you that ye should not go to the Bible and get what the Bible says and listen to the Spirit and do what the Spirit says? Who hath bewitched you that ye should do that? But see, they whet their tongues and they lay in wait to shoot at the upright in heart, hoping that God will forsake them. But it won't be any days like that. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Scriptures cannot be broken. The Bible said, he that considereth the cause of the poor shall dwell in the land. You're not going to root him out. You're not going to tear him down. You're not going to do anything to stop him. He shall dwell in the land and stay till he finishes his course. And one that does that wants to go on with Jesus anyway. Paul said, I have a desire to be with God, which is far better. But it's needful that I stay here in the flesh to do whatever I can, and that we're not in the flesh but in the Spirit. That is, in this body, to do what I can for you. Not needful for me, Paul said. It'd be a lot better if I was over yonder. But it's needful for you. So then the Bible said, if you consider the cause of the poor, you shall dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. That was one thing that I appreciated about Brother Walker. Brother Walker from Jamaica took us into his area, and his interest was in the poor. In the poor, trying to get a church for the poor. They had no money to give him. He was trying to do something for the poor. He didn't even have electric lights in his house. He lived way back in the mountains. And he walked numbers of miles just to get me a banana over the mountains. And him, an elderly person, even in the rain. And he considered the poor. He was always concerned about the poor and the needy. And he's dwelt in the land. He's lived to be a good old age. Still living. Still singing. I feel good, good, good. I feel wonderfully good. And he obviously has, or he couldn't walk the way he did through the mountains. But see, the Bible said, if you consider the cause of the poor folks, you can dwell in the land. If you want to live, if you want to continue to do good, that you might dwell in the land, all you got to do is acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways and He'll direct your path. If you want to dwell in the land, then you've got to do good to continue to dwell in the land. You've got to consider the cause of the poor. You know, this brings me to a thought. My wife reminded me of something tonight, something I say reminded. She told me of something I didn't know. People will get a hold of a little finance, and they owe other people, and they don't want to pay other people. The Bible said the wicked borrow and won't pay. They don't want to pay other people. And so they will give a little bit in the offering and then they will squander away all the rest of it and not pay any bills. And then they'll say, Brother Pike, and I've had them do this just recently, Brother Pike, them bills I challenge, them folks I owe, I know I've got to pay those bills, Brother Pike. They'll say to me, I ain't going to worry about them because I want to do something for God. And they're spending their money all the time and just squandering it away. And then it sounds like that they gave their money to God. And then all of a sudden my wife will come to me or somebody will come to me and say, did you know that such and such and such and such? And I think, no, no, Betty, no, that couldn't be right. Because just the other day he said such and such or they said such and such. Betty said, no, I'm sorry. It ain't like that at all. I say, but Betty, no, it ain't on the books. It's not there. And I think how evil, how wicked, how wrong, how deceitful that a person can be to do God that way and to do God's people that way. You know, folks, that ain't using much reasoning. Did you know that? Did you know that's what killed Ananias and Sapphira? Do you know that is the very thing that killed Ananias and Sapphira? It's reasoning in their mind about money or about goods or finance or whatever they had and promising to the God of heaven, and then holding back. Do you know that's why God killed them? Lying to the Spirit? Did you know that you lie to the Spirit when you tell somebody that you don't have anything to do with and that you can't help because you just don't have it and you do have it? Somebody said, but what if you don't have it? There don't live no such folks. Are you listening? There don't live no such folks. Somebody said, well, you just ain't been where I've been. Yeah, I've been all around across the world. I ain't never found any. Never, nowhere have I ever found any. Even the beggar on the street with both of his legs off and sometimes his arms off and blind, sitting there as a vegetable, usually he has something he could give to God because somebody has mercy and drops in the pennies. The little widow gave her living. So then there ain't no such people. And yet people will continue to do God that way. And they'll continue to take the Ananias and the Sapphira outlook. And they'll continue to be deceitful saying, well, I don't have anything, you know, I'm just a widow. I'm just a poor orphan. I don't have anything, you know, I'm brought up the hard way. And I don't have anything, I can't even really take care of my family. There ain't but one reason a person can't take care of their family, and that's because they're lazy. Can somebody say praise the Lord? I said it's just because they're lazy, especially in America. There is some countries where it's very difficult to provide for anybody. But did you know God in His rich mercy still helps those folks somehow or another? But generally in America, when a person doesn't take care of their family, they're just lazy, that's all. They don't want to work on a job. So then I find as a rule that those that will help me here will also take care of their families, and those that neglect their families are the very ones that won't help me here. I find out that if a man will work out yonder, he'll work in Bethlehem. And if he won't work out yonder, he won't work in Bethlehem. So then, I say that you're worse off or as bad as Ananias and Sapphira. You pledge your soul to God, and you don't give him that. And then you pledge your mind to God, and you don't give him that. And then you pledge all of your life to God, and you don't give him that. You pledge your substance to God, you don't give him that. See, and you're always saying, God, I can't afford this, and I can't afford that. See, after that you've made a promise, you commit yourself to God. You commit your substance to God. You commit your all to God. Somebody said, well, I didn't do that, Brother Pike. Oh, yes, you did, or you're not a Christian. You're not a son of God. God doesn't accept you on any other basis. That's the only way God works. He works all or nothing at all. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, what about the 30-fold? Well, there's a lot to be said about that. What about the 60-fold and the 100-fold? There's a lot to be said about that. That's just like a child. A child can't do any more because that's all they are, is a child. A woman can't do any more because that's all she is a woman. And a man can't do any more because that's all he is a man. But angels can do a lot more when it comes to strength than all of those put together. So then God judges you according to that which is your capability. And God judges you on the feeling that you can't do any more, that you've done all you can. Like the little story that was told about the banny that we repeat so often. When the little boy got all disturbed because he couldn't lay an egg as big as the big chicken. So he beat the little banny and he come back and he beat the little banny. And the story says finally he went back and said, well, just do the best you can. He got persuaded that the little banny couldn't do any better. Because he felt like if he'd beat him all that much, he'd have done better if he could have. And see, that's the way God judges. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So then that completely annuls the thought that we can half-heartedly serve God. Or we can just half-heartedly try to be a Christian. And do a little bit, just half-heartedly. And God will just give us 30-fold because we had too many other things we wanted to do in the world. Folks, when you do that, with that kind of thinking, you don't get anything. You don't get 30-fold. You don't get anything. God doesn't have anything for those kind of people. Not anything at all. God doesn't praise those people and God doesn't respect those people. Those people don't even relate to God. It's when you do everything that you can that you relate to God. And until you do everything you can with your finance and with your heart and with your mind and with your soul and whatever, until you do that, you don't even relate to God. The Bible said, love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart, all of thine mind. That is, keep your heart all together in tune with God, perfect to the very intent of the heart. And keep your mind always on God, day and night, meditating in His laws day and night, to the casting down of imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Love Him with all of your mind, all of your heart, all of your strength. God didn't give you your strength to run up and down the road, as I told somebody the other day. They were talking to me. We've got some of them that just runs up and down the road and they don't do nothing for their families and they don't do nothing for God and they don't do nothing for the brotherhood and they don't do anything for the people that they run around with wherever they go. They just run as one that beateth the air and don't do nothing. Just troublemakers wherever they go. Like someone told me one time, he said, well, I go from camp to camp. I go there checking the thing out. I find out the trouble with the camp. I said, no, you don't find out with the trouble with the camps. I said, usually it's not trouble with the camps. It's them that run from camp to camp that's the troublemakers. And of course, he left and he ain't been back. He used to come around this camp, but he decided not to come back to this camp. Bible said, rebuke them sharply that they might be sound in the faith, and rebuke them openly that others might see their foolishness and fear and not fall into the same trap. Using great plainness of speech, the Bible said. So then, we can have a life of hypocrisy, and we can think that God is with us in a 30-fold, and God won't be with us at all. I've got to love the Lord with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul, with all of my strength. I've got to be more in God than some of us are here at Bethlehem. a lot of times. That is more diligent in hearing and more hungry to receive and more interested in the sense of the preacher being able to keep your spiritual attention instead of just going out like a light, just like that, from word to word as he tries to talk with you. Having a hunger, having a thirst, having a concern. I'd certainly hate to try to do what I'm doing out yonder in the hammering and the nailing if the carpenters that I use quit, went home every few minutes and nail a nail, and quit and went home every few minutes, you know. It's hard to preach to people that every time you talk to them, you scream at them, you get their attention, and you just stop for a second in their minds, is, you know, and you got to scream again to get their attention. That's sad, folks. That's the way the world is today. Because I got some carpenters, it seems like they spend more time at home when they're supposed to be up here than they do anywhere else. And that's the truth. But anyway, I thank God for people that are godly and that are honest and that are sincere. I don't care for great people. People are supposed to be great people. I don't care for that kind of thing. A lot of people spend all their time when they're talking to me trying to tell me how great they are. I don't care about that. What a great ministry God has given them. What they're going to do for God. How mighty they are. I don't care for that. See, I'd hate, brother, somebody just take a hammer and a saw and say, Brother Pike, we've got a job to do. Come on, let's do what we can. Or come and tell me God told me to do such and such. Instead of just running the roads and going as one that beateth the air as a wandering star that never does anything, but just wander around and cause trouble and backbite and find fault. Cut down everybody everywhere they go to magnify themselves. Try to get some kind of proof to where they can prove it. You know what you do when you do that? You just cut your own self off. Jesus said one time, he was speaking to some of the disciples, he said, when you desire to be the chief, he said, I'm going to make you servant of all. When you desire to be the Lord over everybody and prove that you're so great, Jesus said, I'll make you servant to all. He said, if you want to be a great man, be the minister of the people. Minister to the people. Tell the people something to help them. If you want to be a great man, wash their feet. That's a good place to start, Jesus said. I'll give you an example. I'll wash Peter's feet. He said, wash their feet. That's a good place to start. If you want to be a great person, then let's get some pans and start washing some feet. That's a good calling right there. Somebody said, I got to abide in my calling. There's a good calling for you, is to wash somebody's feet. If you haven't done it, Brother Pike, I've done it numbers of times in my life. Glad to do it. Felt so little when I was doing it. Felt like I just couldn't do enough for my brother. You know, and not only that should be your calling, but you should get settled in something with God. You should do something for God. You should walk with God and talk with God and live with God and try to follow Christ in everything. And you should esteem others better than yourself and quit trying to tear down others. You should esteem them better than yourself. If you've really got the love of God, you've got enough understanding and enough good common sense to know that that's the body of Jesus Christ, and you can't abuse it, and you can't criticize it, and you can't say things about it. Then God will cut you down, and God will burn your fields, and God will throw the dust in your face. For the wicked shall be cut off, David said. Said, you'll see him sitting around, you'll see him walking around, you'll see him riding around, and all of a sudden you'll look and he won't be there. The Bible said he won't be there. All of a sudden he'll be taken away. He won't be there. The winds of doctrines will get him. The contrary winds of doctrines will get him. Sorrows will get him. Heartaches will get him. The powers of evil will overpower him. You'll look and he won't be there anymore. Somebody else will be there. He won't be there. The wicked shall utterly be cut off. God shall consume them. But he said, if you want to stay in the land, do good. Do good, folks. If you want to stay in the land, do good. God will heal you in the time of your sickness. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I'm sick. That's the bad part about it, Brother Pike. I'm sick. Do you know anybody in the world that you've ever known that did get sick? I don't know anybody. I don't know one living human being that I've ever known anywhere in the world where I ever took up any time with them and talked to them any length of time, but what I didn't find out that they got sick at one time in their life. Being sick don't mean nothing. Somebody said, I got a prophecy, Brother Pike. I got a prediction, Brother Pike. What kind is it? Well, that man over there, huh? Yeah, I saw him limping. I saw him limping. Saw him holding his shoulder like this. And he said he had a pain. You got a revelation. Yes, sir. I got a prediction. What is your prediction? Well, there's something wrong with him. That's my prediction. Something's going to happen. You know, why do we act like little kids? Why do we act like children? Why do we do things like that? Don't you know that's silly in the sight of God and foolish in the sight of God? Anybody knows the person's got a problem. Anybody knows that. That doesn't mean they're going to die. Something's going to happen to them. That God's given you a revelation and God's given you some kind of prophecy. Oh, it's a horrible Brother Pike, but what if they do die? So what if they do die? That has nothing to do with your prediction of prophecy. You've just been foolish, that's all. When God speaks to somebody, they may be just as healthy as a young lion. They may be just as strong as a young ox. But if God says, thus saith the Lord, something is going to happen, brother, you can just write it down in your book, that thing is going to happen. If a prophet comes and prophesies like they did to Hezekiah, then that person better start praying and calling on God and have that same prophet come back and say something to them, or God say something to them, because they're sure to be put in a hole. So then, we've got people prophesying all over the land, people speaking things all over the land, saying things all over the land. And God hasn't spoke to them. The Bible said they run, I didn't send them. They prophesied, I didn't say that. Howbeit they said, God said, but I didn't say that at all, God said. Said, my thoughts was not their thoughts. I didn't have those kind of thoughts. I didn't have those kind of thoughts. You know, I've prayed for many things in my life, and I've heard the voice of God many times in my life. And I try to be as careful as I know how to be about saying the Lord said or what the Lord is doing. I try to be careful. I try to be careful for the simple reason that I know that I can get in trouble. I can say something and get in trouble. The Bible said that prophet that prophesieth falsely, presumptuously shall die. See, and I know that you can get in trouble doing foolish things. So I try to say the right thing. Many things that I've said here to you, many things that I've said has come to pass. Somebody said, well, I know something you said that didn't come to pass. Well, why don't you come and tell me? Well, I told somebody, I know you did, but you never did come and tell me. You know why you didn't? It's because you lied, that's why. And you knew that I'd tell you to your face that you lied. Somebody said, but yeah, but what if you... Yeah, well, if I did and you can prove it, I won't tell you you're a liar. I said, God have mercy on me. Cry aloud and ask God to help me. A man come to me, I say this so often, a man come to me with thus saith the Lord, and he's been with God, he make me shake in my shoes. He don't have to be a great prophet. All he has to do is just be a Christian, and I know he's living right. But all of your dreams and all of your things that you lie about and twist about with your filthy, evil dreaming to overthrow and try to tear down, I don't believe in that. And I don't accept that. I accept the Word of God. And what the Word of God says, and dreams that come from God that found themselves upon the lovely Word of Jesus Christ. And I believe in those kind of things, and I uphold those kind of things. So then I try to do what I feel to do. I heard something the other day. Somebody said that I said concerning Brother Al Gonzalez. And I thought, there they go again, twisting it up. Things that I've said about different people, they twist it up. And they take it and make it say what they want to say, and they run to somebody else. See there, they said. And then I think, God, someday, those that seek to twist things up and those that seek to make things wrong. Brother Branham said that was a bad thing. They took his tapes and spliced them together to try to make them say things that he didn't say to hinder the works of Christ. But brethren, it'll catch up with you someday. It catches up with everybody, and you'll pay a price. It might not cost you your life, but you'll pay a price for every contrary thing you do. For the wicked shall be cut off, the Bible says. He shall not dwell in the land. God shall cut him off. Because the Bible said, they that practice wicked devices, they that lay upon their beds to imagine wicked things and to plot wicked things, I shall cut them off, the Lord said. They'll not continue in the land, I'll cut them off. He said, but the righteous is not going to be moved. Those that are godly and those that are holy, he said, you're not going to pluck them up. My Father's greater than you. He planted them. You can't pluck them out of my Father's hand. So then, the wicked shall be cut off. You know, it's startling to me to realize that some of the people that come to Bethlehem, as well as every place in the world we go, that profess the high standards of God in Christianity, have such a little endurance until it's almost unbelievable. And they trouble you continually wherever you go. They trouble you in the church when you try to preach. They trouble you when you try to work out on the job with them. They trouble you if you take them on a trip with you. Wherever you go, they trouble you because they're carnal minded. Always they're doing something that's carnal and contrary. I heard a man say today, speaking of a little boy, said, you know, he's more outstanding than his dad. Said the little boy was listening up at his dad's office a few days ago, or his dad's work, whatever, said he heard him say some things and said you could just tell the little boy just tore him up because he didn't agree with his daddy. You know, some of the little boys and girls have more fidelity and they have more godliness and they have more hunger and they have more thirst than some of you people sitting out there that are older in God. You people that are sitting out there, some of you don't have any hunger for God. You don't have any endurance. You don't have any thirsting. You don't have any desire to grow in God's knowledge. You don't have any desire to stay long enough to hear anything from God. You don't have any desire. You know why? Because you're filled up with the husk that the swine eat. That's why. You've actually filled your bellies with the husk, the things of the world. And some of you have got your minds on filling your bellies with it. But I'm telling you, you better get up out of the dust. You better get away from the hog pen. This world is a hog pen. I don't care what you term it. You can make it as beautiful as you want to. Say what you want to about it. But the world is a hog pen. The entire world is a hog pen. And those that are out there in it are swine and dogs, the Bible teaches. And some of them brute beasts made to be taken and burned. That's what the world is. That's why God's going to burn it up. Do you think God would burn the world up? Do you think God would destroy the world if the world wasn't ugly, if the world wasn't full of mire? Do you think God would kill hundreds and millions of people if there wasn't something wrong with them people? God who is love, God who cares for humanity, God the one that created us, do you think God would literally slaughter millions of people if there wasn't something wrong with them? Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ would have called them dogs and swine unless there was something wrong with them? He wouldn't have done that. Would God have called them a generation of vipers if there wasn't something wrong with them? See, there has to be something wrong. That's why Jesus used those terms. So then he said, you come out of the world, be a separate people, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Don't touch the unclean things. Those things are unclean. You can't touch those things. Get out of the world. That's why I know that a lot of evangelists that come through, that they don't love God, they don't care for God, they're not interested in God. Their whole conversation, all of their practices, all that they're doing centers around money and getting a greater thing, having a nice automobile, having television, radio, getting a big cathedral or whatever. Everything that they do centers around growing up into the world and being some great something in the eyes of the people. I said this a little bit ago, and I want to clarify here. You can tell a person that is of God, and you can tell a person that's not of God. You can tell a preacher when they're of God and tell when a person is not a true preacher. You say, how do you tell, Brother Pike? Because a person that is not of God, they will seek to subdue your spirit to them, to their thoughts, to their doctrine, to their way of life, to do the things that they're doing. And they'll seek it in such a way to lord over you and to take control of you and yours and your life and have you to do what they want you to do. A person like that is of the devil. And they'll always put themselves up above you and seek the preeminence so they can get control of you. They'll do it in a subtle, sly, cunning way. But they'll do it. And they'll seek to brainwash you. You say, but Brother Pike, you mean they'll take the word of God? They'll take the word of God and try to brainwash you. Just like the devil did to Jesus when he quoted the word of God. Took it out of the context and used it for flattery.
and tried to use it to trap Jesus. The Word of God, religious people.
They're seeking to magnify themselves. They're seeking to come against what God's doing, what God's established. See, to make you a drifter and a wanderer and a nobody and a nothing. To keep you from doing anything. Don't do that, they'll say. Don't do that. My, you're in bondage, somebody said. Don't do that. We're those that are free. We're those that know what we're doing. And we're those. We can do what we want to do. But you poor folks, you're so in bondage. Folks, don't listen to a liar. How can you be in bondage when you're God's free man? Hallelujah. The one that's free in this world is the one that's in bondage to the devil. Those that are in the lust of the flesh and those that do what they want to do and go where they want to go and say what they want to say, they don't listen to the minister, they don't conform to the word of God, and they don't take any position, they don't help anybody, they don't do anything. Those are of the devil and those are the one that's in bondage. Don't listen to those liars. The Bible said every liar shall have his part in the lake of fire. Don't listen to those liars. They're liars. How can I tell the difference, Brother Pike? There is a difference. What will the true man of God do? He'll do one thing, and that's what the Spirit of God did. When Jesus came, he humbled himself and he washed the feet of the brethren. He humbled himself, he left them an example. He did not seek to make himself of any reputation. He wasn't interested in doing nothing to make himself of a reputation. He got a great reputation because God said to him, or done for him, as he said to David, I've taken you from among the sheepcote and give you a great name like unto the great men of the earth. But see, the Spirit of God works like this, not to be Lord over you, to be your friend, to be your brother, to try to help you, to do something for you, to make provisions for you, spiritually, naturally, whatever, just to be one of you. And it seeks to make you equal with Him. The Spirit of Christ always, even though it's the great preeminence, it's the great God of heaven, it's over all of us and above all of us, yet the Spirit of Christ, God was so sweet, He come down in your likeness in a human body and tried to get you to be like Him. He left you the example to be like Him and then done the works of righteousness so that you could be equal with Him. Saying, everyone that believeth, everyone that doeth these things are equal with me. Made them equal with himself. Rather than be their Lord and rule over them, wanted them to be equal in knowledge and equal in power and equal with him as his very darling sons. That's the Spirit of Christ. It always does that. Plainness of speech, great plainness of speech, will not acquit the wicked in any wise. Very clear, make it very clear as to what's right and what's wrong, and always going about doing good, and especially to help the needy. So then, it doesn't seek preeminence. It seeks fellowship and love. But the other doesn't have any time for you, and it doesn't have any time for me. And it's so important, it doesn't have any time for anything. And it's just here and there and just like a worm on a hot rock, just constantly rolling, constantly doing something that don't amount to a hill of beans and don't help nobody, just cause trouble, problems, and whatever. And then when you talk to them, say, what are you doing, my brother? I'm doing great things. I got a great ministry. I got to go. Where are you going? I don't know where I'm going. I'm just going where I've been, and I'll be back to go there again. Don't amount to a hill of beans. I'm telling you the truth, so help me God. I talked to somebody the other day. There was two or three of them standing around. I talked to them and I told them this very thing. I said, just running as one that beateth the air. What good are you doing? If you don't do no good at Bethlehem, you ain't going to do no good over in Atlanta, Georgia. If you don't do good in Georgia, you're not going to do good in Tennessee. If you don't do good in Tennessee, you ain't going to do no good in California. And you ain't going to do no good in Mexico, and you ain't going to do any good in Germany, wherever you go. You're not going to do any good. Because a lazy man has a lazy nature. If he won't work in Atlanta, Georgia, he won't work in Monroe, Georgia. Because it isn't in Atlanta and Monroe that's causing him to be lazy. It's his nature to be lazy. You take an elephant that bobbles off to Atlanta, he isn't going to change into a bird. He's an elephant. When he gets over there, he's going to be an elephant because he's got an elephant nature. He's going to bobble through town with his long trunk and do the very things that he'd done when he left wherever he left from. Going somewhere isn't going to make you any different. It isn't going to make you any greater. Trusting the luck, taking the chance, hoping to run into somebody that's got money or somebody that's going to grab you up. What kind of foolishness is that? The first thing the Bible tells us to do, and I'm going to close in a few minutes. The Bible said, flee these things, O thou man of God, you that seeketh after riches. Flee these things. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. What are you looking for things like that for? It's the flesh. Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. The things that be of the world. That's why he wants the preeminence. He wants to be acknowledged. He wants to be seen. But see, God isn't like that. God doesn't seek to be seen. He doesn't seek to put on a show. He doesn't seek to make a reputation of himself because he's already the reputation. He's already rich. He already owns everything. All God does, he's just a state of being that's bound to be discovered. It's like a diamond that's laying in the earth. It isn't trying to have somebody to find it. A piece of gold that's laying in the earth, it's not seeking somebody to find it. It's already of value. It's already a diamond. It couldn't be any greater. It's already a diamond. A great thing if anybody ever finds it to polish it up. Mind the beauty and radiance of it because it doesn't seek anything. It's just laying there. When you are real, genuine, when you've got God, when you know that you're a son of God, you ain't seeking nothing except you just want to be peaceful and want to be happy, want people to leave you alone, and things just spring up from you. You know, wherever you go. It's like the sun. The sun don't go around and say, well, I'm going to seek to shine on this, and I'm going to seek to shine on this. And if I shine on this, this is going to jump up, and this is what. See, it don't do that. The sun's just drifting along, doing what God ordained for it to do. It just does it. It don't try to prove itself to be nothing. It just drifts along. And if you get the clouds out of the way, it'll come down on your grounds. And the first news you know, little things will begin to pop up everywhere. Because from the presence of the sun, life comes forth. And folks, when you are a Christian, you don't have to seek any place. You don't have to seek any certain people. You don't have to seek any certain thing. You don't have to seek any certain kind of ministry, any certain kind of knowledge. You are filled with God, and your cup's going to run over, and you're going to be bubbling as the light of God, and wherever you go, things are going to spring up, and people are going to have revival, and things are going to happen. That's all it is to it. Okay, I'm going to say this, and I am going to close. I say this as a word of encouragement to you. But I heard just recently of somebody that told somebody, said, you know, said, when you come around me, said, you don't inspire me. Said, used to, there was a time when you come around me, said, you just inspired me and you give me strength. Said, you just, you know, full of God and your conversation about God. He said, it just done something to me. But said, not anymore. Said, when you come around, you just talk about worldly things. That is, you get empty. See, and you're not like that son anymore. You're not bringing revival. You're not inspiring anybody. You're not helping anybody to grow. See, that's what happens. You run out of energy. You have to be rejuvenated. But folks, I'll tell you one thing. If you'll get your mind off of the world and the love of the world and the things of the world, you can do anything you want to for God. And God will bless you with the business and God will bless you with the things of the world, them things that are carnal. He'll bless you with all that you need of them. And God will give them to you if you just keep your mind out of there and keep your mind in the Spirit. And you'll be great and powerful and mighty and you won't be mixed up with the world, with the things of the world. Your heart will be in God and you'll bring forth the wonderful fruits of Christ unto perfection. Okay, let's stand together. Come here to talk with you. I come here to exhort you because this is the right way. This is the right way. Thomas said, Lord, show us the way. Jesus said, have I been with you so long and yet you've not known me? Thomas, how is it you say, show us the way? Thomas, I am the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. How is it that ye say, show us the way? God is good, folks. He's wonderfully good. He is the way. It's not how you look. You may look so good when you look in the mirror. And you may look so good to the people and you just think, man, I'm just, you know me. This is me. Like a little article I read, didn't mean to read it, but I was looking down at something and There it popped right up in my face and it said, "My kingdom come." And it had little tags and things all around saying, "Me, me, me." That's just about the way some folks are. You know, it's not God's kingdom come. They're not interested in God's kingdom come. But their thought says, "My kingdom come." They look at their face and they think, "My." You know, and they look at their bodies and they put new apparel on their bodies and they think, "My, look at me." You know, and off they go. And what do they go for? They go that somebody can see them. Oh, how poor, how terrible, how bad. You know, you can understand little boys and little girls doing that. And even sometimes teenagers, they're looking for a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you know, and they powder their nose and they comb their hair and they just, you know, they want to be so pretty. But folks, when you grow up grown and you get your wife and you get your husband, you know, and you get grown up, you know, and you can't be satisfied with one wife and you can't be satisfied with two wives, and you get in a double marriage and you get in a triple marriage and you get in all kinds of marriages, you know, and then you still ain't satisfied. Like a woman said the other day, "I think this is the fourth husband or the fourth wife." And her husband was acting like he's looking for another one. That's pitiful. You know, just to look at a human face that's got some skin stretched across it. And because the hair is still sticking in the head, you know. And you like the cheekbones the way it's made. And the nose is slender, nice. It just looks so nice. And you just think, "I'm just swept off of my feet." And you really are. You just don't know how bad. And after you live with them for a few months, like I said, you find out their feet gets dirty and they have to use perfume to keep down the smell too, you know. After a while you think, "Oh my, my beautiful thoughts all gone in my love affair." So you just say, "Well, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I know what I'll do. I'll buy me a true story." And so you kick back, as the world says, and you read about this great love affair. Oh, and you read about another, and you see it on television. You get back in your dream world. But see, what you don't know is their feet got dirty too. And they had to use perfume too, movie stars and all. And movie stars, they leave their husbands and marry two or three times too. You know, because they marry them and they think they're just dream boys and girls, and they keep them for a few days and they find out the same old thing that you do, that they're human beings. Folks, when are we going to grow up? Why do you have to walk around lusting after a box of powder or a box of rouge or the bottle of perfume that the girl bought down the 10-cent store or dollar store it is now? Why do you do that? She goes by and she smells like a rose and she sweeps you clear off of your feet. But I can assure you that she don't smell like a rose all the time. If you could be there at the right time, you'll find out that what you smelt was the store, not the lady. Same way with men, you know. "Oh, he's just a dream boat," somebody says. "I just look at him," you know. And if you could look at him long enough, he'd look so bad to you. I see some of them that just dazzles before some of his eyes. And I know for a fact that their wife is trying to get rid of him. I mean, they're trying every way they can to get rid of them. See, don't you know, can't you see how childish you are, how foolish you are? What you need to look for is character. And what you need to look for is God. And you need to find righteousness, find some kind of character in your life. You know, Ruth learned something. She learned something about character, security. What you need to do is look for character and security. If God's not in a person's life, if you're a young lady, you're crazy. You're out of your mind to mess with that person. Unless it's the act of God that somewhere God's going to bring that man in, you're foolish to mess with him. And the same way around the other way. If you are a man or a boy, that is, and you're looking for a girl and that girl isn't a Christian, you're foolish to mess with her. And if she's done been in a marriage or two, or the boy's been in a marriage too, you're still foolish to mess with them. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Brother Branham taught that if you just marry somebody that's been married before, that kills your ministry. If you're in a double marriage, you're automatically not a minister. According to his teachings, automatically, if you've been married twice or got a companion that's been married twice, you automatically are not a minister, according to what he said. He even spoke against a man marrying a widow. Said, you marry a widow, you automatically lose your ministry. Well, anyway, it's a mixed up world, folks. I'm just telling you that we get real childish and real foolish. If you got a husband, love your husband. If you got a wife, love your wife. Let's be holy. Let's be godly. Let's be pure. Let's not be wicked. Let's get our mind on doing something for God. See, it's your mind that's what it is. Satan wants to pollute your mind. You're not going to find anything different if you marry somebody else. It's just the woman just like the other woman. If you marry a man, just a man like the other man. That's all. After a while, you're going to burn your passions out, and he's going to burn his out. Both of you are going to be all shriveled up and all wrinkled up in a little stack of dry bones that if your insurance is paid up, they'll be glad to get the business down at the funeral home. They'll throw you in the hole. That's all it'll be. And your pretty face will be gone from now on. Your pretty forms and bodies, it'll all be gone. But folks, I tell you, that don't happen to Christians. That don't. Somebody said, well, praise God, I'm glad. Now, I didn't say it wouldn't happen to you. I said it won't happen to Christians. Christians. Don't happen to Christians. Christians live on forever. All right, let's sing a chorus. Can we sing a chorus? I wish that we could speak a long time concerning the flesh and the spirit, and that you were spiritual, that I might speak unto you as unto spirituals. But the flesh profiteth nothing. If that is true, then all of your great vocalists and all of your great musicians and all of your great rich men and all of your beautiful ladies and handsome men and all of that that you've got, all will come to a great heap of ashes. And that will be the end of them. They'll all rot, decay, wither up. Be gone, because the flesh profiteth nothing. All generations, all nations, all people, all races, every one of them, they profit nothing. You understand what I'm saying? Some folks don't quite understand it. They don't interpret it. It profiteth nothing. They might as well forget about the whole thing. It's a lost cause. Well, I said, wait a minute, I'm flesh. Well, I recommend something for you. What do you recommend, Brother Pike? I recommend that you be born again, and that way you'll be spirit. He is born of spirit is spirit. I recommend that you become that wonderful body of Christ, even the second man Adam, the quickening spirit. Because the flesh profiteth nothing. It's a lost cause. All right, let's slip our hands up together. Think upon the lovely things of Jesus. Think of the greatness of God. Go call Brother Gary Armstrong up to pray the closing prayer. While Gary's coming, stop and think tonight, folks. If the flesh truthfully profiteth nothing, then why do you seek the convenience of the flesh? You say, well, you've got to live, Brother Pike. But the Bible said, if you seek the kingdom, I'll take care of all that. I feed the sparrow, I clothe the lily. I know that you have need of these things. Your heavenly Father knoweth before you ask. I said I'd supply your needs if you seek first the kingdom. And even give you the desires of your heart, make you rich and add no sorrow. Take care of your sicknesses. See, knowing that the flesh profiteth nothing, why do you seek preeminence? Why do you seek to be something? Why not listen at Solomon? Vanity all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. All of your labor, all of your plans, all of your talents, all of your ambitions. Whatever you get, that means nothing. You say, Brother Pike, why then are you doing these things? I'm doing these things for God. I'm doing these things to help the hungry and the poor and the needy, like Noah when he built an ark out of wood, because God told him to. Don't get blinded and look at a few people that's gotten big ministers and think, that's the answer, I'll get that. I'll get me some of that. Don't be foolish. You may get some of that and die and go to hell when that man's got that and he'll go to heaven. See, we're doing something for God, folks. If God's called you to that, you just seek Him. He'll add all things unto you that He wants you to do. He'll open your heart and your mind. You can spend all of your life looking for it and you'll never have it. But you can seek God and He'll give you all of it.